When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Hello, my name is Dan. This podcast is Desert Island Dicks, which I reckon you've already worked out because you're a smart bunch. Flattery aside, let's get into things. This episode features comedian Bemi Oladipo, and I feel bad that I haven't put this out yet because we recorded it ages ago, but we went through a phase of just recording so many each week that, you know, you're going to get a bit of a backlog. So anyway, I'm addressing that now. Here is an episode with Bemi Oladipo. He's a very funny up-and-coming comedian. I reckon you should go and check him out. I'm certainly going to, because my new, not New Year's resolution, but just general life resolution is to get out and see more comedy. So I'll be sharing any recommendations from my lifetime outside of the podcast with you, and hopefully getting comics on the podcast as well that I like that I've seen. Oh, talking about going out to things in real life, how about you come and see this podcast in real life? Because we're taking part once again in the very brilliant Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival. And we're going to be doing a live Desert Island Dicks on Thursday, the 2nd of November in Balham in Southeast London at the Bedford Pub. And we will be joined by the frankly brilliant Jenny Eclair. I think she's going to be so great with the Desert Island Dicks format, to use a sort of wanky phrase. But I think she's going to be really funny. She's a very no holds barred, no nonsense kind of person. And I think she's going to have fun with it. I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I hope you are too. Go to cheerfulearful.co.uk and get a ticket now. They're £8 plus like a booking fee, which I think means it's still under a tenner. So that's, I mean, that's pretty good. That's less than 2 pints, isn't it? Or 3 coffees. I don't know, it depends where you live, but most things are pretty expensive, aren't they? So you pick a unit of your choice. It's still cheap, though, I reckon, for an evening's entertainment. And there's another 2 podcasts on that night as well that you can go to. But I think you do have to buy tickets for those separately as well. But hey, I would love to see you there. I had such a laugh doing it last year with John Robbins. Jenny Eclair is going to be great. I feel confident saying that now. And it would be lovely to see you in person. So yeah, 2nd of November, Bedford Pub in Balham, cheerfulearful.co.uk to get yourself a ticket. Why not do it now? And whilst you're doing it, here's a podcast to listen to. It's the brilliant Bemi Oladipo on Desert Island Dicks. Hi, I'm Dan Benedictus, and welcome to Desert Island Dicks, the show that sees you marooned on a desert island after a plane crash with the worst people and worst things imaginable. Who they are and why they're a dick is up to our guest, and here to share their Desert Island Dicks with us today is comedian Bemi Oladipo. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Ready to talk about things I don't like.
I mean, you know, are you a sort of upbeat guy? Do you find it easy to rant about the things you hate? I mean, there's a lot of choice in the world these days.
I don't generally tend to hate people, but I hate aspects of people. Does that make sense?
Okay, well, I'm fascinated now to see who you've chosen. So let's get straight into it then. Who's going to be the first person joining you on the island?
It's an easy one nowadays. You know, I don't like this person. No one likes this person. But I don't like the person for a very particular reason. You know, it's Piers Morgan, right?
Piers Morgan, yes.
I don't like journalists, a lot of journalists. Okay. Sounds very random. Have you ever watched CNN, Fox News, whatever, where, you know, where they have the talking heads and whatever? Mm. And, you know, when you're sitting there, you're like, ask the right question and you don't do it. I don't, there's a level of insincerity right? And people, especially when I used to watch a lot of, I don't know why, when he was on, what was it? Was it Good Morning? Was it Good Morning Britain?
Yeah.
I used to watch that a lot. Obviously, they've got like a limited amount of time to ask their questions and get out of there, blah, 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 blah. And it almost felt like every time someone was about to get caught in a lie, right, they had to go to a commercial break or something, blah, 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 blah. So I like the idea of being on an island with him because you can't go anywhere. You can't run. Mm. Now we got to face forever and, you know, we'll suffer together. So I kind of want him there because I don't like him, but also it would be good to see what you can get out of someone like that if you were with them forever.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is, like, on the one hand, you could pin him down a bit and try and sort of, like, break him down a bit. And, like, when he's got no one else to impress and he can't make any money off
having... Ooh, that's a good point. Because those people, they do it because they got an audience, innit? And what does he do when he doesn't have one? That's a good point, Danny.
Yeah, because it's like, can you just stop objecting with everything just to be contrary? You know what I mean? Just to sort of... But then I just think it's so embedded in his character now. He would just, like... You know, you'd like catch a pig and you'd eat it and you go, God, we're so lucky to find that pig. Now we've got something to eat for a few days. And you'd be like, oh, but are we though? Like, you know, just like any little
thing.
And
you're
like, I just think he's so like, he's just one of those people. He just loves winding you up. And he's like, oh, it's just healthy debate. And it's like, no, Piers, we're stuck on an island. You're being a bell end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, God, I can never know. That's what I want to find out though. What you just said. I want to know if that's actually, is that you? Is that the real you? I always wonder with those people, is that the real you? But you think that's just him. And even on an island, he ain't changing.
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because it's like, I think it's like when people go undercover. You know, you see a film when someone goes deep undercover and sometimes they can just keep up the pretense that they're like this other character and they survive mm-hmm. and they're all right. And then sometimes they go too deep and they can't come back out again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think with people like him, the Katie Hopkinses, those sort of people, it's like, do you believe it or not? You're kind of fucked. You're sort of painted into a corner anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
It is a good point. I always wonder with those people. Have you ever seen, going off of it, have you ever seen Atlanta?
I haven't, no.
You got to watch it. It's phenomenal. There's a great episode here which sums up my thoughts on, it's the most mind-blowing thing, right? You've got like a moderator person, journalist in the middle, then you've got a rapper and then you've got someone else who is there to talk about LGBTQ issues and stuff like that. And she is accusing the rapper of being misogynistic, right? And there's this phenomenal moment where the rapper responds to something she says after she's accused him of being misogynistic. And it makes a lot of sense as to why he's not. And she goes, actually, you're right. I actually agree. You're not misogynistic. But there's like so much time left in the program, the guy in the middle starts panicking, right? And he tries to accuse the rapper of something to rile her up and it doesn't work. And there's no show. So when I think of all these like the Piers Morgans and stuff, I'm like, that's, if people don't, they've got nothing, right? So my mind, if you're on an island and it's impossible to create that sort of friction, part of me is like, what does he, does his mind explode? Or does the real him come out? I don't know.
I mean, it's sad that that's where sort of telly's got to these days. Because, like, I'd be happy watching people agreeing on a sofa or, like...
Thank you! You know I'm the mean? Same as you!
And I think a lot of people would. It's like... Oh, do you know what? Like, you know, it's like, okay, so you're a white man, you're saying that all these people are snowflakes and blah, blah, blah. And then someone goes, oh, well, I'm a person of colour. This is how it affects me. And you're like, shit, I never thought about it from your point of view. Like,
that never happened.
That must be really hard, actually. Do you know? Because I don't have any black friends. I've never thought to ask someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's mind blowing. I don't know if you've ever been in that. I've been in that situation because I'm a very changeable guy, right? I've never understood the need to hold on to your opinions, if that makes sense. So I don't know if I've always been in this situation sometimes where I'm in a very heated argument with someone, like it's quite heated. But then they say something that makes sense. And a lot of the time I can instantly just be like, actually, yeah, you're right. People's brains, they're like, but you were just angry. Yeah, but you made sense.
Yeah.
And it's
we're allowed to change sides when viewpoint is given
it's
to
mental.
Us. Yeah.
It's mental. But it never happens on TV. It never happens. And I always want to talk to these people in real life that are in these and be like, why? Just why?
Well, maybe you could be the person to change Piers Morgan. And if you got rescued, he'd be like, you know, like, thanks to my good friend who's a person of colour, I've really, you know, I've really like embraced this whole new, I was wrong, everybody. I'm going to go, you know, on my GB News channel, I'm going to call it GB Europe.
Nah. Daniel, the second we get rescued and there's an audience again, slipping back.
Maybe.
Back. But I'll take that deep down knowing. But we all got to get money somehow, man. Do you? I'll never begrudge a man for getting bread.
I don't know. I still begrudge the way he goes about it. But
get your money, man. Get your money, Pete.
All right. Who's going to be the second person joining you?
I think I would really not like to have my mum. I know that sounds weird because I love my mum. But I've thought about this long and hard, and I think it would be torturous. Because you don't want to see people you love on an island. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to see him like wasting away or struggling.
And yeah, it's just like, oh, you know, so that would almost be worse than being smoke.
Yeah, definitely.
At least I could get some glee. But this, it's like, no.
Yeah, I think it's difficult because like on the one hand, you're like, you don't want to see him wasting away and getting ill. And then also like, our mums can wind us up quicker than anyone else in the world. You know what I mean? So on that stressful thing, you're like, oh, now I'm really snapped at my mum. Now I feel bad. Or like, or she's snapping at you for something going, you're not, you know, you didn't cook that fish right or something. And you're like, yeah, oh, give me, yeah, I caught the fish for fuck's sake. Come on.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That would depress me.
I mean, you'd also have to see your mum dealing with Piers Morgan. I mean, how do you think they'd get on?
To be honest, it's a weird thing to say, but she's such a like, not in an offensive way, but it's quite nice. She's quite simple in a lot of ways, right? So you know how nowadays everyone's in the Twitter wars and this, and they get in the weeds. And, you know, my mom's the kind of person, the ultimate conclusion is, I just think everyone should get along. Like, it's just, it would be nice. So he would maybe go off on it and it wouldn't even penetrate. Does that make sense? Like, she doesn't get angry. She doesn't get, I think it would frustrate him actually, which might be nice because she just won't grab onto anything. She's like, I love Jesus, and that's it. She won't get too deep into the weeds and the politics and the, you know. I bet my mom doesn't even know what identity politics means. I genuinely don't think she does. So I think it would be fine.
I can imagine, like, maybe if, I don't know, if push came to shove and he really annoyed your mum, maybe, like, Piers Morgan getting a proper mum-style telling off.
Ooh.
Like saying, I'm disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in you. That could be it. That's the key. I think you've cracked it. Someone needs to say that on TV. I'm just disappointed with you, Piers. I'll just leave it like that.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, like, I can see how for you, you know, obviously it's incredibly complicated and like being stuck with your mum on a desert island with Piers Morgan. I mean, from what you've said to me, she seems like a lovely person to be stuck with on an island. Like, I think I'd quite like to get stuck with your mum on a desert island, you know. It's like, it seems like she'd just be really nice.
She's so lovely, but I just hate to see it.
No, I can understand that. All right. Well, I think, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see who the third person is and how that everything hinges on that.
The third one, yeah. I thought about this, right? It's more a type of person. I've ever spoken to people that are like fake deep. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This is actually in my head because it's fresh. I don't want to say her name because it's actually like, it was after a gig I did last week. I did a gig at Soho House and then one of the audience members was talking to me, this girl, right afterwards. And I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to kill myself. If she hears this, you know, she kind of just like, everything is so like, you know, like we were talking and she goes, so this comedy thing you do, like, it's like a spiritual experience, isn't it? You know, with like, you know, and she started talking about dimensions and just fake depth, and it drives me mad. It's like, yeah. Do you know who Erykah Badu is?
Yeah.
Erykah Badu is actually quite spiritual, right? But it's like some people don't understand how that's meant to work and they just say things. There was a few comedians and she was there and we were chatting and she was a bit absent-minded and I was like, oh, you okay? Wait, what, you good? And she genuinely said to me, sorry, I was just like, you know, in the other realm. What does that mean?
It's called daydreaming.
What does that mean? So imagine being on an island with someone. I would kill myself. Genuinely, I would kill myself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think like there's such a fine line, isn't it? Because there's aspects of spirituality or being able to see the good in the world that's so helpful and useful, or like being able to appreciate little details that you might otherwise, you know, I get that that can really help our well-being, especially when the world is basically a bin fire, you know, like, but then there's a point where like, I might have said this before on the podcast, once I was in India and I went and I did a yoga class. And before the yoga class, like everyone there was real like hippies kind of thing. And before the class, like we had some tea in these little cups. And one of the girls who was staying there, she collected up all her cups. And I gave her my cup that just had hot tea in it. It's 38 degrees outside. And she took the cup and she's like, oh, it's still warm. And I was like, yeah, because it's had hot tea in it and it's 38 fucking degrees. Like there's nothing... There's no lesson in this. It's like the lesson is just things heat up when you put hot things in them. Like I'm not, and like I've said that to some people and they're like, oh, but you know, she's just trying to like find the good in stuff. I'm like, yeah, look, don't make me the bad guy here. Like I was at a yoga class in India. I'm trying to improve, but it's a hot fucking cup. Like there's no depth to that. Like,
yep. That is it. In fact, there is a, you've just said something that reminded me of someone. And it's, and I can't, oh my God, her name, it's going to come back to me. She's like a life coach, Coach Stormy.
Okay.
So she did this life coach thing where she's got loads of her, you know, she's taken loads of her people to this, loads of people to this place. And she, you know, she's one of those, she inspires you, teaches you how to be rich, whatever. So there's a part, yeah, where she's eating off a plastic plate, right, with a bunch of women. And one woman has... She's got like more food in her plate than she does. And she looks at that woman's plate and she starts saying, the way they've served your food, it's not fit for a queen. You're a queen, all right? The way they served your food means they don't respect you, all right? Look at mine, it's elegant. Look at yours. Your queens don't move like that, all right? That is beneath you, all right? And the woman, instead of going, that's bullshit, she's like, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, this is... You know, and she's like, yeah, you know, before you said that, I didn't think of it like that. But now that you're saying this, Coach Stormy, you know, it's true. Like, this plate isn't fit for a queen. You know, there's too much chicken and this and that. You know, I'm a queen. I need to move like a queen. I was like, you're hungry.
Yeah.
You're hungry. What do you mean? Fake deep. It drives me nuts. And being on a desert island with someone like that. Oh, man.
Yeah. And that's such a weird example as well, because it's like, you're not creating queens. You're just creating a nightmare for the service industry right there. Do you know what I mean? Because there's loads of people who are like, sorry, you've put the food on my plate, but it's not really fit for a queen. You're like, I don't know what you think. This is Nando's.
This is Nando's. Relax.
I don't know where you relax. Think you are right now. Like, you asked for two sides, right? They're there. You know, what do you want?
Coach Stormy. That's the name. That's her. That's the person.
Okay.
Her and anyone like
her. Her and her like affiliates, yeah.
Fake, deep, finding a lesson and everything when there's no lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
Relax. I'm trying to eat chicken. What do you mean?
Like I said, it's such an important thing in life to find like nice things and enjoy like the goodness and remind yourself what you're grateful for. But like there's a point where you just go, oh, fuck off, man. Like, come on. Like just you have to live a real life as well. Like,
there you go. Know. I'm gonna walk into the ocean, guys. It's fine.
Nice. Okay, well, we've got a good selection of people there. All right. Now, mercifully, amongst the wreckage of the plane, there was some food and drink left over. Unfortunately for you, it's your least favourite food and drink in the world. What are they and why are they so bad?
This is a controversial one. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's just weird. I'm going to say, Bemi Oladipo does not understand steak. There you go.
Steak, okay.
I don't get it. Listen, yeah. I don't understand it. No one can... People have tried, and I don't understand it. I've been to... Someone for my birthday took me to Nobu because they knew I'd... Just to get the most... They're like, if you don't like this, this is it. And I was like, it's whatever. I don't get steak. Steak is the most bland, tasteless... Do you know the problem with steak, yeah? The flavors. Anytime anyone... I eat steak with someone, and they're raving about it. It's like their taste. I don't need subtle flavors. I don't like steak. Don't get it. Don't like steak.
Okay.
And if I was on an island with steak, I would. It's just nothing. It's like eating wet wood. I don't get steak. I don't like steak. Never give me steak, people. I don't get it. Not a fan.
I mean, like, I do like a good steak.
What's a good steak, Daniel? Tell me. What's a good steak? Well, it's just a slab of meat with nothing.
Yeah, well, this is it. Well, yeah, for me, it would be like, you know, nice soft texture, you know, so it's like you're not chewing away for ages. It's nicely cooked, not overcooked, and it's sort of, you know, just, but I know what you mean, because I would say that as I get older, I do realize, like, you know, because I like most, I'm not very fussy eater, right? So I like most of the meats and stuff. But I do realize often it's like, it is more bland than a lot of things you could cook. You know, like if you get like a stew or something that you have to cook for a long time, like oxtail or something like that, you know, like there's more of a flavor to it. And I watched this program recently. There's like, it's this famous Italian butcher, right? And he said he grew up in this butcher shop. They were quite a poor family. And all his life, he was eating all like the leftover bits because his family wouldn't give him like the good cuts, but they knew how to make nice stuff from all the cheap stuff that was left over. He said when he was like 18, his father took him aside and he was like, look, I'm going to give you like the best steak in the shop. And he cooked it and he was like, this is amazing, but it's not that interesting. He was like, I've never had meat so soft and you know, melts in your mouth and whatever. But actually, like, where's the flavor compared to all the other stuff?
What you just said is it. There's nothing interesting about steak. Anytime I hear people talk about steak, I feel like it sounds like you're Coach Stormy. You're making stuff up. You're making stuff up. Oh, it's the texture and it's just right. And it's it don't taste of nothing. I'm sorry. It's so boring. Steak is so boring. And I've had all kinds because people have tried, man. Was it? What is it? Wagyu steak? What was that? Was that
Wagyu? Yeah, that's probably what he had.
They were like, Wagyu steak. Look, they were like, this is it, Bemi. Wagyu steak. I was like, what the hell is Wagyu? And then this is the thing about steak, yeah. Steak, the only food where you got to tell a backstory to justify what it is. Right? Chicken is chicken, but Wagyu steak, it's from, there's these cows in China and they sing songs to them and the cows meditate. And the meat is a certain way and this and that. So when you eat it, it goes through your system. No, it's a cow. Relax. Relax. It's steak. And there's nothing to it. Steak is boring.
I know what you mean. Like, I mean, like I say, I do enjoy a good steak, but I think that, like, it's one of those things, like I like wine, but there's a lot of bullshit to wade through. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, or like, I like pretentious beers, but like, I don't want to have a conversation about them for an hour. You know what I mean? And I think it's something like, you know, real bros latch onto. It's like, you know, like there's like this real like thing about dudes cooking with fire and like, and it's
God. Man. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
You know? And it's like, I don't want it to become this like gendered thing where like, oh yeah, boys, let's go out and get a steak. It's like, we're men, let's get the most masculine thing we can get. And it's like, can we just go out for some food? Like, I don't like all this stuff that's attached to it, you know? So
you're right. I feel like that's I'm not trying to say you don't actually like steak, but I feel like you've all been tricked. You've all been tricked. And it's the story around it. And it's what steak, people like what steak represents more than steak. That's my take. I don't get it.
You've got a fair point. And I think it's more about texture than flavor a lot of the times. I think you're getting more flavor from some like cheaper cuts and stuff, I reckon. So yeah, I think you've put forward some strong arguments. Plus also you're going to have to, like, Coach Stormy is probably vegan. She's probably not going to have a great time with it. Mm. You know, you're going to have to go into all that. Every time you eat it, she's going to be telling you how bad it is for you and stuff like that. Piers Morgan's going to be, oh, shut up, such a load of nonsense. This is
what men, the woke liberals trying to get rid of steak.
All right. Well, look, you've got a mouthful of steak. How are you going to wash it down? What's your drink choice going to be?
This is more a fear because I've never done it.
Okay.
I've never drank alcohol before.
Okay.
So, help me out here because you got to help me out, Daniel, because this is, I was thinking about this. You got to help me out. What I couldn't figure out is if it would be the worst drink to have, because I've never done it, or the best, because I've never done it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, either way, it's going to be pretty dehydrating. So, like, in terms of, like, a functional point of view, you know, just having alcohol isn't great.
It's not good for you. Okay.
And I think that if you've never drunk it, it's probably going to knock you sideways the first few times. So, you know, like, and it would be much easier to have a bit too much and be sick and then you feel hungover in the heat.
See, that's the thing, yeah, because I've never done it. And also, back to the steak, like when pretentious people are eating steak, they're always like, oh, you gotta have a good wine. What is it? Good red wine with it. Mm. Fun story about me though, actually. I've never drank alcohol. However, this is true. For a very short period of my life, I was a sommelier. I'm not making this up.
How did you swing that?
At this little restaurant. Basically, there were just loads of rolls. And because I know how to talk, innit? Like, they were like, yo, you be the... I was like, what's a sommelier? They were like, oh, it's a wine expert. I said, but I never drank wine. They're like, oh, it's all right. Here's this little book. Just read this book. Be confident when you're recommending things. And I was a sommelier. I used to give wine recommendations, but I've never drank wine. And one guy caught me out once. He just kept asking questions. And I just had to tell him. I said, look, I don't know. Just why are you trying to catch me out? Go away. I don't earn enough money for you to do this.
It's not a competition, man.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, oh, so which one would you recommend? Oh, I recommend this because of this. Then he asked a deeper question. Yeah, but the texture of this. Yeah, then have this. Yeah, but this. I'm like, look, dude, I don't know.
It's wet, man. Drink it.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I was a sommelier.
Wow, that's impressive. That's ballsy. Like,
I can blag. I'm black.
Yeah, nice. I mean, I think one good thing about, because you're on the island after a plane crash, so one good thing about alcohol for you as someone who's teetotal is that, like, on a plane, it all comes in quite small measures. You know, you have little bottles, so it's probably quite appropriate, you know, so you won't, like, just have a big bottle of whiskey and maybe it's a good way to start. But, yeah, I just think there's too, you know, the feelings and emotions are running high. I think there's too much going on and, like, you know, you could easily, like... Yeah, it could all go wrong too easily. So I think for you, probably, actually for most people, I think alcohol is probably a bad idea on a desert island.
If I am going to start though, Daniel, what are you recommending? First drink?
Well, probably you just want something like not too strong. So like a beer or just like a cocktail, you know, so you could, or like something with juice, you know, something so it's fruity.
I love a fruity drink. I'm the guy that orders a fruit mocktail everywhere I go.
Yeah. So you get some fruity cocktails and I think, although they've got a sting in the tail, do you know what I mean? Cause that's the thing you think, oh, I can just knock these back and they're like, you know, don't taste of the booze. And but you know, don't worry. We can work through it together. Like maybe I'll be your guide.
Thank you.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Okay, now, Bemi, fortunately, you won't be without entertainment on the island. The plane's entertainment system continues to work, but just your luck, it only has two working settings. One is your least favourite film of all time, and the other is your least favourite song. What are they and why?
Song? I hate stuff that's too joyous, but also doesn't sound genuine.
Okay.
The song I hate, and I really hate this song. I have such disdain for this song, it's unreal. Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Kill me, bro.
Yeah.
Kill me. Just kill me. It's okay. Don't play this song anymore. Just kill me. In fact, they got two songs I hate. Two of my most free-hated songs are Black Eyed Peas songs. I Got a Feeling. And in fact, I'm going to give you three songs because I don't... I have one of these. I Got a Feeling. Then what's the... People killing people. I hate that shit.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
It's corny. Mm. I hate it. And then what's that? I sound like such a dickhead for not liking that. This last one. This song. What's the? See You Again. It's been a long day. I hate it all. I don't know which any of those three.
Yeah, man. So. Who's the last one, Bart? Is the last one Black Eyed Peas? No, is it?
No, the last one's not Black Eyed Peas. It's Wiz Khalifa, which is another thing. Because I'm a big rap, I'm a big hip-hop fan. Mm. So when rappers that I know are like a bit more hardcore, they get that pop gene in them. It's a bit.
Yeah.
Then you got the guy. Those aren't lyrics.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What's that?
Yeah.
I don't like that. It upsets me.
No, I definitely get you. I mean, Okay, let's go through this. And so Black Eyed Peas, I mean, that I got a feeling is just, for me, is, you know, that feel like I really like dancing, but I hate dancing to music I don't like. Do you know what I mean? Some people are like, I'll dance to anything. You know, if it's got a good beat, I'll just dance to anything. And like, I'm not that person. I'm like, I will leave the dance floor as soon as I don't like this music, because I hate that feeling. And for me, that I've got a feeling song is the feeling of sitting there at like maybe someone's like anniversary or birthday and people going, come on, Dan, come and dance. And you're like, no. And you don't want to say, no, trust me, I fucking hate this song. Because you're trying to be polite, but you're like, no, it's okay. I don't want to, you know.
And then if you say you hate it, you look like a dick. It's like, how can you hate joy? I got a feeling. Dun, 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 dun. Oh my gosh. It's so horrible.
It's like an alarm, though. That first bit, you hear it, and it's like, bam, 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 right. Bam. And you're like, oh, God, it's the I've got a feeling klaxon. I've got to get off this dance floor.
It's a horrible song.
And also, when you're all just losing your mind on an island and it's just relentlessly upbeat and it's
It sounds like the kind of song that would play in like, you know, in some sort of weird Black Mirror thing where they're trying to torture you in some isolated place where like everything that's going on is really dark, but then they've got this really like happy song. You know, like it's like what made Thingy disturbing. What's that? Squid Games, right? What made it disturbing isn't that it was just dark, is that actually it was quite aesthetically bright, quite colorful. You know, you had the doll, the big doll, but then that would kill you. You know, all the colors made it darker somehow. You know, so if you're suffering and then you're hearing this awful nursery rhyme sounding thing constantly, it would make you want to suffer.
Yeah. Songs like that, I can really imagine, like, I've got a feeling playing, you know, like if you're outside a club and someone's upset or they're throwing up or there's a fight and you just hear that but muffled in the background.
Yeah. It's the perfect backdrop for some chaos.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Okay, so that's a good one. So what's the next one? What have we got next? We got...
people killing people.
That's it,
I don't like that. It's... where is the love? Not here. You know when songs try to make you feel something? I don't want to feel it now.
Yeah. I think every now and again, it's like a pop formula. Like maybe every 5 years, a band will go like, hey guys, why are we all arguing? Hey, wouldn't it be better if we just loved each other? And you're like...
and we all got along?
Yeah, I get it. It's kind of complicated though. And they're like, you know what I mean? But I think it started with like the Beatles, you know, again, all you need is love. And it's like, yeah, I get that. Like, I get that. You know what I mean? But like every few years, there's like a different version of it.
You're right. There's something about it that removes the, what's it called? The nuance of what it actually means to create world peace or whatever, right? And it's like, just love each other, man.
Yeah.
Just love each other, man. It's like some hippie.
And I think like the Sugar Babes or Atomic Kitten, someone like that, they did one. It's like, hey guys, we're all just the same. Like, don't judge me.
Yeah.
Like, we're all the same. And you're like, I know, like, but you know what I mean? You sound like a prick if you're sort of cynical about it. And it's like, no, you're the ones who fucking wrote the song knowing that you're going to make money.
Yeah. And sometimes you can let them go, you know, Black or White, Michael Jackson, right? It's cinema, but you know what? It's Michael Jackson. But this, father, help us. And then the rapping, you know, hysteria. By the media, it's like, oh my God. Honestly, it's horrible. Like, I'm a big rap fan. So when I hear rap like that, it's like, bro, you didn't write that. Your kid wrote that. Like, what do you mean? That's like a child, you know? Hey, little Timmy, you know, do a little rhyme for us, you know? Hey, apples, you know, I don't know, just lame. I hate that song. I hate it.
Yeah. All these choices are perfect. They're all like, it's like you said, it's like upbeat, but it's not really, it's cynically upbeat. You know what I mean? It's like, it's designed to make money, you know?
You're very good at enunciating how I feel. Cynically upbeat. I'm going to be using that from now on. I love that. Cynically, It's focus groups. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, like an Ed Sheeran album. You're like, you can go through it and you go, this is the one they'll play on the rock station.
Yes.
This is the one that goes on, yes, like Kiss. This is the one that, yes, will go on Magic in Radio 2. Mm-hmm. This is the one, you know what I mean? It's like someone sat there and be like, how do we make this album play on as many stations as possible? You know, it's like, this. Yeah, I just, it does my head in.
And the Where Is The Love is perfect for that. Like you said, it's like, this is the song where we all get in a circle and hold hands and sway from side. Where is the love?
Not here.
Not here for you.
It's not here.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. Well, strong choices there. What's your film choice going to be?
There's a thing that's been with me since a kid. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have a strong hate for musicals. So it's got to be The Sound of Music, man. Music. I hate that. I'm not saying this to be controversial. When I was a kid, yeah, I didn't even like the Disney films. That's not true. I kind of liked them. But, and I mean, I'm a 5-year-old watching The Lion King, right? Mm. I mean, I'm engrossed in the story. I'm liking it. The second they start singing, it takes me out. Every time. I'm like, why are they doing that? I complain to my mom. She's like, I don't like it. So The Sound of Music.
I've never made it all the way through that because I'm just like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it's, I'm not a big musicals fan either. And I think maybe, I don't know, because I was young and it looks a bit old. You know, sometimes when you're young, it's like, so same with my kids. If you go, oh, well, look, you might like watching He-Man from when I was little. And it's straight away, he goes, this looks wrong. I don't know what it is. But yeah, I know the thing about musicals, it's weird, isn't it? It's like, and it's, you know, I'm someone who loves music, but it's like, and there are some films that have good songs in, but I think it's generally, there's like a musical style of music.
You're right. And actually, I generally don't like musicals. There's only one musical that I actually like, to be fair. And I think it's like, because it doesn't always fit that style and it's a lot darker when it's older. And also because when I was younger in a school play, I actually did it and I learned all the songs. Little Shop of Horrors. That's the only musical I can.
Okay. Yeah.
I can stand, but that's just because there's death and there's two alternative endings to it. There's one where like the world ends and everyone dies, and I'm like, I like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not this manufactured joy. Everyone dies. That's nice.
I watched the Blues Brothers the other day, and I was like, oh right, yeah, this is a musical, but it's good because it's Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin and James Brown. You're like,
exactly. Yeah,
these are heavyweights. You know, it's not just sort of like, you know, it's them writing amazing songs. It's not just sort of musical songs. It's just a film that has loads of good songs in it. And because they're so good, I don't mind that everyone in the world just suddenly starts dancing spontaneously because I think that's what would happen if you saw James Brown in church or like Aretha Franklin in a diner. Like, I'm going to go with that, you know what I mean? But the rest of the time, it's like, we're all in a factory sweeping up, but now we're doing it in time. I've worked in factories. Nobody in there is going to do a spontaneous dance.
I agree with you, because I think what you just said as well, once again, you're good at enunciating the whole Aretha Franklin, because I'm pretty, in the Little Shop of Horrors, the main, Audrey 2, the plant, the evil plant, is voiced by, I think, a Motown singer, actually. So it's I like that already. So I can handle that. But all the other stuff, I am going on some. No. I don't like musicals.
Fair enough. And also, like, you've already got a load of songs that you hate on the island. So now you've got a film that you hate with a load of other songs that you hate. So you're like really packing in.
I've got to listen to I Got a Feeling, all that.
I'm going to say, actually, for the music, I'm going to have to make it work. We're going to have to give you like a compilation, you know, like Now That's What I Call Dance, early noughties or whatever, you know. So we'll give you like a compilation and The Sound of Music as well. So
No, please don't.
Yeah.
Get me off this island, please, then.
Yeah, Bemi, I can tell, like, from the look on your face, it's taking its toll, but like, we're almost at the end and you will be granted your freedom because finally the island is overrun by the biggest dick of all the animals. Which animal is it and why?
Might be an obvious one, but it's the truth. Like, I'm really scared of snakes.
Okay.
I'm really, 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 I've got a huge snake phobia. When I was in primary school, there was like a pet day, someone brought their snake. They just brought a box, and it didn't even, I think that was the first time I ever saw a snake in person. I must have been like 9. Just brought a box, opened it, and the snake just started coming out, and I froze. And she got the snake. I remember she was like, oh, maybe it was my friend. And she goes, yeah. And she put it on my neck.
Oh.
And you know, it was moving. It was like kind of in front of my face. I was looking at it and I was just like, mate. Mate. Oh my God. This I can't any, and it's any, it don't have to be poisonous. I don't know. I'm not comfortable around them. They really, oh man, no.
Yeah. See, do you know what? When I was young, I had a real fascination with snakes, and I always asked my mum if I could have a snake. But my mum's Australian, so she's like has a bit of a fear of them. Like she sort of grew up like obviously not trusting them, and now that's sort of faded away a bit. But I can absolutely understand why people have an issue with them, because like they are fucking weird, and basically, I dislike most things that are like a snake, like anything that's like long and straight and wiggly, I'm not a big fan of. But I don't know what it is with snakes. But even though I like them, like if one just appeared on me, or like I was sitting under a tree and one came on my shoulder or something, like I wouldn't just go, oh, great, it's a snake, I love them. You know what I mean? It would still freak me out. It's like, I think it's just something so hardwired into us that like, I you know, I've seen them in the wild before. And it's freaked me out, and I've jumped a mile. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just we're built to be scared of them. I think, you know.
Yeah, and I'm one of those. I see a snake, and I'm asking myself questions. Like, how is that moving? I still don't understand it. I might be stupid, but I'm like, how does that move? You ain't got legs. What are you doing?
Yeah.
How do you move that quick?
Yeah, because some of them can swim as well, and you're like, how? Or like how? Climb trees and stuff, and you're like, I don't.
How? It's like, and the colors and shit, and like they can blend in with stuff, and some of them are huge, and then they're like, I read a story in Indonesia. It was on the BBC like last week. Some woman went missing in some village, and then they found a snake, and the snake was looking fat. Killed it, opened up, and this woman was dead inside the snake. This old woman.
Yeah,
and your mouth, how is your jaw disconnecting like that and swallowing a whole human being? And it's not even that you ate, you swallowed her, bro, and now you're just chilling there for months digesting a whole person.
Yeah, that whole thing of just like eating the thing whole, you're like, are you enjoying that? Like there's no joy there. And then you're just sort of, you know, it's just a thin head and then this huge antelope lump in it, and then like the tail's thin again.
The
you're
tail,
like,
the fuck
is going on with you?
What's wrong with you? How hungry were you, bro? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's so weird. And it's like they just around you and the this and that. I'm not a snake guy, man. They freak me out a lot. I'm sure people have said snakes on this podcast before, but...
Yeah, but, you know, like I said, I think it's a reasonable thing. Like, I mean, you know, I'm sitting in a room here. I've got a picture of me, like, on the back shelf there, which is, like, me when I was 9 years old in Australia holding a snake at a zoo, and it's, like, one of my favourite memories. I've got a snake tattoo, but I still think they're freaky motherfuckers, you know? Like, I still think they're weird. And I think I couldn't begrudge anyone for being scared of snakes, really. See, I think it just sort of makes a lot of sense, you know?
Yeah, and, like, with other animals, right? I don't like every... Like even dogs, right? Mm. Certain type of dogs I don't like. I don't like them dogs that look like they lift weights. You know, them dogs. But there's also cute dogs. I ain't never seen a kind of snake where I'm like, I like that. There's no size, no species, nothing. A snake is a snake. It could be the smallest snake. I'll be upset.
No, I think that's very fair. It's hard to put an argument against them, to be honest, even as someone who likes them. So I think it's fair. And it's a fitting way to round off your island of crappy people and things. So you've done a fine job today, Bemi. So well done. Now, listen, where can people see or hear more from you? What are you up to at the minute that people should know about?
Me, I'm up to a lot, actually. So at the moment, obviously doing a lot of stand-up, but I'm also writing a lot of stuff. I write on the, if you have any football fans out there, the fantasy football league show on Sky with Matt Lucas, Ellis James, Andrew Mensah. I write jokes on that. which is great because I love football and I love comedy. So it's like, what else could you ask for, really?
Mm.
I'm always out there performing all over London, all over the country as well. That's me, man.
And we can keep up to date you on Twitter and Instagram and stuff.
Yeah, Instagram. I need to be better on my socials. The agents always tell me off that my social media game is a bit poor, but it's about to step up, don't worry.
So yeah, ours is too. We're always saying it here.
It needs to step up. But social media, first name, so GBEMI _high, Gubemi, as you will, _high.
Nice. Listen, Bemi, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a real pleasure. And can't wait to see you live as well.
No problem. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Cheers, man. Take care. So there you go, Bemi Oladipo there. And I feel like I did a really long intro there. So I'm going to do a short outro to sort of make up for it. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with another episode next week and more episodes after that forever and ever and ever until the world is full of audio. No, not that. But just going to keep doing it, aren't we? That's my commitment to you and to the podcast. Desert Island Dicks has been a Sync Clap production. It was dreamt up and produced by James Deacon. It was produced and presented by me, Dan Benedictus. Expert editing today came from the very brilliant Chris Attaway. Thank you, Chris. And a big shout, as always, to the big man, John Deacon. That's it from me. Back soon. Bye-bye.